Welcome. It's a miracle nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we celebrate my birthday. My friends have gotten together and arranged for a special birthday trip for me. I'm very excited about it. It's one of my greatest desires to be with my friends on my birthday, to share the joy, to share the happiness, and to just have some fellowship together with you, my friends. I have a desire to be able to help people out of sadness or discouragement by arranging some experience for them through skill or magic so that they create memories that lift their spirits and inspire them. Just by having them live out some story. I don't know if I'd need some place to do this, like a vacation resort or ski lodge or hotel or something, or whether I could do it remotely. Anyway, the guests would arrive, and I would welcome them, and then we would have an adventure that would give them insight into themselves. Is that weird to want that? I wish there was a way to drug or trick Hardy into thinking he was fulfilling that desire so he could see the consequences of such a desire, like either make him have a dream about it or doing some sort of Ricky Jay-inspired elaborate con job so he thinks it's happening.
What happens when an ordinary guy inherits an extraordinary island? Desire K. Where someone else's version of your dreams come true.
Good morning, Hardy.
Good morning, Lou. Lou, why are you dressed as...
George Washington?
Yes.
I heard there's a talent agent among our guests, and I want to get discovered.
Discovered? Discovered for doing what? To do what?
I haven't really decided yet. A little acting, maybe, or radio, or writing, even.
So why dress as George Washington?
To let him know I'm serious. To get his attention. I'm like a billboard that just says Lou and a phone number.
Well, just don't pester her, by the way.
All right. Okay, who is this?
This is Ken Saxon. He works as an administrator at a university, newly divorced and questioning his life choices.
What's his fantasy?
I don't know, Lou. Why would you ask that?
I thought that was our thing. People come to Desire K, and we fulfill their fantasy, but not in a salacious way. Au contraire, in an ironic, moralistic way. Or is it morally ironic?
It's just a resort hotel, man. Don't interfere with folks' lives.
But it seems we could give them an experience that might transform them and fill some emptiness in them.
I think relaxing here on the island is plenty.
What is the harm in psychologically and physically manipulating them as a way of getting them to change their values to conform with ours? They might just be happier.
Don't.
Mr. White, it's a pleasure to be here on your island.
Thank you, Mr. Saxon.
I look forward to my stay.
It's going to turn out that you had what you needed all along.
You're in Unit 8A, Ken, and if you need any extra towels or anything, just please call the front desk here at Don Hall.
Thank you.
What you do has worth.
Lou.
Welcome to Desire K.
Get everybody on board, Junior.
Yes, Captain Butchie.
Say Captain Spinoza. Captain Butchie sounds like I'm the host of a local TV cartoon roundup.
Aye, Skip.
Are all the suckers on board? And is my mic off?
Yes, Captain. And no, Captain.
I don't care. I already have your credit card info. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the waters of Desire K. The first thing I must point out is that your life vests are directly under you.
I don't see them.
I didn't say they were in the boat. Don't fall out. You don't need insurance if you don't get sick. Welcome to the beautiful waters of Desire K. So named because the resort here caters to people who feel an emptiness in their lives. This place cures that. It doesn't fill the emptiness so much as it makes them realize that they shouldn't feel that way in the first place. If you want your fantasies to come true, then fantasize about things that have already happened. On your left are some fish.
Question.
Yes, the man dressed as Alexander Hamilton.
George Washington. So, the creatures we see swimming sometimes are dolphins, a marine mammal. And sometimes people call them porpoises, but that is a different species. And also, there is a fish called dolphin, but sometimes people get that confused. And then someone is serving the fish. They think it's the marine mammal. And so they'll say, dolphin, I don't want to eat dolphin. So they'll call it mahi-mahi.
Are you done?
I just thought it was important for people to know.
Why are you even here? Shouldn't you be cleaning rooms and running elaborate benevolent con jobs using magic and science and psychology?
I needed a lift to the gift shop, frankly. I need one of those little sewing kits and gum, and our machine doesn't have grapefruit ale 8-1.
That doesn't exist.
Yeah, but the gift shop has it, I'm pretty sure.
Dear Mom, I'm pretty sure I'm in my room. Can't possibly be settled in yet, as there's no furniture to speak of or even shelves for my books. And it looks as if my books haven't even arrived, so it's lucky I have this desk and pen and paper, which I am never without, with which to write you. I now believe myself to be on a ship somewhere, so there is a likelihood I have been Shanghai. I'll look out the window and let you know where I am.
I'm impetuous. I can't help it. But you love it, baby. You must, or you wouldn't have dumped that old Steady Eddie stick-in-the-mud Don Mayonnaise for me.
Sometimes I think I should have married him instead.
And miss out on the adventure that is life? That's not you, kiddo. You're a risk-taker like me.
Not exactly like you.
Come with me tomorrow.
Where?
I'm going underwater cave diving.
Oh, no.
Tomorrow night.
No, no, no.
Nighttime underwater cave diving. Come with me.
Oh, no. Absolutely not.
And to add a little danger and edge to it, a local medicine man has arranged to give me a powerful hallucinogen.
Oh, no.
Nighttime, nightmare, psychotic, psychedelic underwater cave diving adventure. Come with me.
You are insane.
Am I?
Oh, yes.
What's the worst that could happen? Dear Mom, I'm pretty sure I'm in my room. Can't possibly be settled in yet, as there's no furniture to speak of or even shelves for my books. And it looks as if my books haven't even arrived, so it's lucky I have this desk and pen and paper, which I am never without, with which to write. I now believe myself to be on a ship somewhere, so there is a likelihood I have been shanghaied. I'll look out the window and let you know where I am.
Butchie, I need your help.
What now?
I got two people stuck in the underwater cave, and both are disoriented and hallucinating, but alive. And I have a 12 o'clock appointment with a guest who expects to check into a haunted house.
I'll take your 12 o'clock check-in if that's what you're asking.
It's not really. I was hoping you'd take the underwater cave rescue operation, but yeah, cool. So, just check him into the lather house and tell him some ghostly backstory, and I'll set up the illusions when I'm through in the crisis center.
No sweat. So, here is the haunted house. Are you getting your bags, or you expect me to get them?
Oh, sorry.
I'll get them if they're too large and heavy for you.
No, I've got them.
Here's the key.
So, the house is haunted.
Oh, yeah, extra haunted.
Do you know anything about the house?
It's the William Lather House.
I mean, about the history. Any clues to who the ghost is?
Oh, yeah, it's some guy who killed a bunch of kids or something in here.
What? That's horrifying.
No, not kids. I mean, he killed some guy.
A murder took place here.
He killed a guy nobody liked.
So, who haunts the place, the killer or the victim?
Oh, both. They were forced to live together. It's like an awkward odd couple setup. They're always bickering. You killed me! Yeah, I wish I could kill you again, you nattering twit! Anyway, closest ice machine is in the Don house where we just came from, and there's a soda machine in the cabana. Oh, and the Lagoon snack bar is open until 9, I think. But then we have a moonlight buffet. There's music. You like rake and scrape?
I don't know.
We got a concertina saw and drum combo that sets up and plays, and there's a lovely buffet by the lagoon. They float all these little candles. It's very beautiful. People dance. Or you can stay here in the fetid confines of a place marred by the echoes of ill-fated jealousy and desire. And if you need towels, call the front desk and ask for Hardy.
Thank you.
So if you don't mind me asking, what's your story? You don't like your job or something?
Well, I'm having a little rough patch career-wise.
Oh, condolences.
Did you just laugh?
Oh, no. I feel for you. Enjoy your stay. I hope you find relief through the tragic fate of others.
Thanks. Where have I been? I must have been asleep. I imagined I was on an island, and then locked in a room on a ship, and then trapped in a cave underwater. And if any one of those is reality, I'm sunk, because they're all foggy and incomplete seeming. Right now seems the most likely waking state. Except I'm not entirely sure where I am now or how I got here, but I just woke up, so that's probably something that's going to come back to me any moment.
Hey, Hardy.
Hey, Lou, what's up?
Glad we got you out of that cave. We got the other guy out, too. He was that obnoxious fellow on his honeymoon with the talent agent. When I told her her husband wasn't dead, I did it in a very subtle Canadian dainty accent.
Canadian dainty?
It's the Canadian version of a transatlantic accent, like Edward Everett Horton, but Canadian. Like Lauren Green. I said, in a Lauren Green voice,
"Your husband is not dead."
She seemed happy about either the news or my performance.
Who are these people you're talking about?
The guests.
The guests. On Desire K.
Yes.
We have a real-life fantasy island.
Yes. And it's a pain in the butt. It's like we inherited a family restaurant and a boat.
I wasn't dreaming or part of some elaborate psychological manipulation thing.
What?
So people come here with a desire, and then we help them fulfill it, but with a catch.
Yes, it will be ironic and or morally scolding.
We give them an experience.
Yes.
Like theater.
It is essentially theater. But with using the time machine.
Lou?
We needed to get stuff.
It's not a truck.
You've used it before to help people move apartments.
Only because it's hard getting furniture up the stairs in some of those places that don't have a freight elevator.
How is using it to alter the course of human experience different than moving to Jersey City?
Happy birthday, Hardy.
Oh, hey, Butch.
Is this it? Is this the key to desire?
Yes, my lord. This is Desire Key.
Desire Key.
Yes, my lord.
And if I possess the key to desire, then all desires are mine.
Yes, my lord.
Good work. We finally got here. Years of fiddling with that damn gemstone in the temple wall. What change?
Someone in the realm of the gods left the door unlocked, so to speak, my lord.
Ah, we sneaked in. I say sneaked instead of snuck now because Hilarious made that dish that was a duck stuffed with snails. And he called that snuck.
Yes, my lord.
And I don't want to remember that, although I just did.
So sorry.
Repulsive. Anyway, I get to do whatever I want now, don't I? How's this work? Magic Island? I wish for something silently or out loud and poof, I'm fulfilled?
Not quite. Also, my lord, we do not yet have full control over Desire Key.
We have the key.
The key is the island. And we do not have full control over the island yet.
Then let's get it.
Hello, my friends. I am flying to an island. It's a very magical island. And the reason I'm doing it is this. A few weeks ago, I was watching some old episodes of a 1970s TV show called Fantasy Island.
And this was a show on which people would visit this island resort and they would have all their fantasies fulfilled. Nothing creepy. I mean, it was creepy, but nothing sexual. Not that that's creepy, but you get my drift. So they'd come to this island, and then the person there would help them fulfill their desires in a safe way, play out these fantasies in a sort of safe way so they could see the consequences of their desires at the very least. And I thought, oh, this is wonderful and magical. And I must have said out loud, I would love to be able to have my own fantasy island to help people like that. Then silently I thought, you know, that's exactly like art or theater. How is that not theater? You're allowing someone to experience a story, and within the safety of that story, putting themselves in that role, they can fulfill a desire or fantasy, and they're able to see the consequences of that without having to devote their whole life to that. Say, I want to become a knight in shining armor. So difficult for some people. But see, you come to the island, you're able to do that, what have you. But you can do that in theater. Now, I didn't speak that out loud. So what happened is that I guess Lou heard me and thought, well, I'm going to give Hardy a gift / teach him a lesson. And he used the time machine to open up access to a magical island that's actually a physical place in another universe on which all of one's desires are granted because it's somehow linked in with your thought process. And this would be a wonderful thing, except that the Emperor Hadrian was able to access it through a secret portal in one of his temples. And now he is there and wants to take over everything. So this crazy authoritarian from the past wants to control everybody's desires and wishes in the entire known universe. And I just have to go there and, I guess, prevent that somehow. So hopefully there's a meta thing going on and he'll get there and then his fantasy of doing that will be ironically fulfilled and he'll realize that it's all a terrible idea. I don't know. I guess that's the key, but now I've got to get there first. I don't really have a plan. I guess I'll just pose as a... And the other problem is that there's a future me there. So this happened, I guess a few years in the future. So there's another me there, so I might have to disguise as someone. I was watching the original show, and I think what I'll do is I will disguise as possibly an actor from the 70s. Somebody say, I've seen him on something, like on a Rockford. So I don't know who that is, but I know who they are. Maybe they are fulfilling their desire of being a television actress, actor. It's one word, actor, gender doesn't. They're just acting, one who acts. And sometimes they'll have actual dogs on the show. I saw a Love Boat episode, which is very similar in that it's little scenarios. They have little stories within stories. And that's always fun. I like that because I get bored easily. I go, oh, wrap up the one with Howard Morris. But they had an acting dog on. Sometimes they have children. Sometimes they have spirits from other worlds and everything will be on. Say, hey, I love seeing that old actor on the show, but I think they're dead. I think they were even dead then. Not so Larry Storch. I saw him. He is, I believe, living. If you're listening, Larry, and you're in North Jersey, I think, maybe even. You could be listening. I was watching a Fantasy Island you did, and you were a heavy, and you killed it. It was great. Oh, you're wonderful. But he's not on the flight with me. He's right there with you, making you say all that. No. No. I just, part of my fantasy maybe is to speak to people who have spoken to me as artists. No, that's not my fantasy at all. That would break my heart. So, oh, I love your work, so-and-so. I love your band. Shut up. I don't need people like you. All right, great. All right, I guess I'm going to go burn all your records. I don't know. My feelings have been hurt a little bit. I guess I understand. I really don't. I don't really understand the artist audience relationship always on either end of it. So I'm not sure what's going on exactly. Everything is baffling for me. It's strange to admit how much I don't know and that I do it in public constantly. And you say, well, there might be. I've been listening to you, Hardy. I think there's something terribly wrong. There's an awful lot that you're unsure of. Yes, I know. Is that bad? Is that wrong? I know that others seem very sure of things. What I'm
hoping is that they're lying. And I think that's probably the case because of fear. Who wants to admit you're very confused? Otherwise, someone will con you or take advantage of you. The great thing is just don't have anything to take. Don Quixote-like. This isn't a magic helmet. It's a shaving bin. Shaving pot. Shaving bowl. Bowl. That's about right. Shaving bowl. It's a shaving bowl, not a magic helmet. So even if you did con me out of it and had some elaborate scheme where I was walking into some storefront and I thought it was an established business, but you had just rented out with friends the day before for appearance's sake, and the person speaking to me is not an investment manager, but simply an actor that has been hired to play a role. Even he is not sure that it's a con. He thinks that it's all an elaborate theater production. That it's interactive theater. When is it theater, and when is it a con? When is it theater, and when are you being put on? When is it a theater, and when have you been sucked into some kind of scenario? When is it theater, and when is it desire key, or K? Some people say K, key, C-A-Y. The pronunciation is different. Some people pronounce it key. The K to desire. What is the K to your heart, they will say. Don't they say that? Some do. What is the key, they might say, that unlocks this? How do you know it's locked? I will go to some hotels sometimes, and no longer do they have the types of keys that you see in Dr. Seuss's book, in which he references the wonderful shape of backdoor keys. That key is long gone. Also long gone, or nearing, it's N, that sort of key that we're used to that they'll make duplicates at the home improvement store for you. That type of key is disappearing. Certainly they don't have it at hotels anymore. When you go to a hotel, unless you've gone to a very antique-y one where they want to keep it all old-fashioned-y, you will have a sort of card, a sort of credit card thing, and you put it in there and you pull it up and it'll flash green and then you can't open it and then you do it a couple more times and you're able to get in. This is the new key, and that key's resemblance to a credit card is no error. We now believe that those little plastic cards are somehow keys to something, that every time we run them through a little magnetic scanner, that it's going to open some door for us, that we will find ourselves in another world or at some sort of resort or in a room or a house that fulfills some of our desires. Maybe it's a haunted mansion and we've always dreamed of speaking to the dead. Hello, dead. I don't know how you got here. I have always dreamt of speaking to you. Now leave this place. I can't imagine that. I wonder if anybody would say that to me. I've always dreamt of meeting you, Hardy. Thank you. Now leave this place. All right. Oh, sorry. Okay. I am both a ghost fancier and ghost buster. Oh, I don't know if I like that. I both am a dog fancier and a dog torturer. No, it's not possible. Either like them or get rid of them. Don't try to do both. Don't try to be friends with ghosts and then get them kicked out of their house. Think about that for 2 seconds. That's like being a spy or Donnie Brasco or something. Don't do that. Either, you know, go and talk to them. Say, I understand you're living in this house and you're ghosts and everything. Just wanted to be, you know, be aware there are living people here and you could make them poo themselves out of fright. All right. But don't go in there and say, oh, I'm your friend. Now get on with it. You don't know what the spirits are up against, what they're doing, why they're there. Maybe they're protective, benevolent spirits. I mean, what if the occupant of the house had bought some sort of charm when they were on vacation, and the charm was supposed to invite benevolent spirits, and here you are, like, chasing the benevolent spirits out? That's something. That's like, you know what that's like? That's like saying, oh, I'm going to put these jumping beans in the microwave. You're going to be disappointed because you're going to kill the little thing that's in alive that's making them jump. So don't do that. Keep them alive, maybe. Keep the spirits and the ghosts alive. Keep those desires. Don't meet them and then destroy them. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to fulfill your fantasy? Sometimes I think about that. Why would I fulfill it and be gone? And then just be a stupid, stale memory. I think I'll keep it in this world where it's, ooh, it's all nebulous and nice and I can go visit it and it never ages. And it never takes full form. That's happened to me. I wished myself a friend. When I was little, I was playing with black magic. And I had gotten a book. I gotten two books for my birthday. One was on old-timey football, and one was on black magic. And I said, this isn't true, by the way. So don't write and say, oh, so I feel bad for you. It's not. It's a story. Let's not say black magic. I don't like that. Let's just say magic, productive magic, magic of making. So sometimes that has, we say it's dark because the consequences are sometimes not foreseen and they can be negative. So you need to start messing with things that you don't know about. And like I'm about to tell you, so I wanted a friend. I want someone to play with me. So I tried to make one. I said, well, I'll make it and then I'll give it life. But you never quite get it right. Because, you know, you say, well, what am I going to, okay, paper mache. So you make this hideous paper mache person. And then once they're animated, it's terrifying. And you never quite get it right. So I'll make it more realistic by putting rubber on it or something. Then you just have a human rubbery thing. You go, I've made, it looks like Gumby. And it's alive. It's always terrifying. I just can't get it right. I can't get it. So I made, you know, an army of these poorly made golems out of various things that I had laying around, clay and paper mache and everything like that. And I said, you know what? I'm going to let these reside in my imagination because once I make them, I can see their limitations. It's so nice when I can't. I can't see the edges, so I can't tell it's all. They made a version of the movie The Hobbit by Andrew Jackson. He made that. The Hobbit, and he made it a very detailed, amazing movie. So we decided to also shoot it on this high-resolution film. I guess a normal film is maybe 35 millimeters. This film was like a meter. I'm making that up, but it was like that. It's like it's a meter long. It's a giant kind of camera. And they made it like that, and then they showed it, and the resolution was so high, you could see, like, nose hairs, and you could see that the props were made of plastic and not oakenwood, like, not Thorstein oakenwood, which is what the hobbits would have used back in those times. And you could tell that they were that it was fake, because it was too real. The resolution was too high. You could see everything. There was nothing left to the imagination. It had lost that sort of feeling of a hallucination that we have when we see movies. The early movies were even better to me because when they were grainy, when they're jumping, well, you're not really sure what you're seeing. I think that's a person. And we experimented, even in the early days, with doing that. So what am I seeing exactly? It has a sort of a surreal quality or a very strange, abstract quality to it. We don't like films like that nowadays so much. Or do we? I was watching an action film, and the action was so complicated and strange, it was what they called the CGI and everything, that I couldn't really see what was happening. It was more like an impression. It's like you're watching an explosion, and you know somebody had accurately animated every piece of metal flying out in every direction, but I couldn't see it. I just got an impression. So it was kind of nice, and this I think I just experienced an explosion, but I don't think any real information registered. I don't want photographs from my trip to Fantasy Island, because what if it was an illusion and I never left the waiting room? I was simply drugged and I didn't really experience it. How do I know which one of my memories are real? How do I know about, how do I evaluate my memories to know which ones that I experienced and which ones that I have assembled from other experiences? Maybe made a sort of Frankenstein memory out of a couple memories. You got the head of one memory and the feet of another memory, and you've made some sort of third thing out of it that didn't happen. I do that all the time, don't I? I wonder if I have everything I already need to imagine the things that I want. Maybe I need one more element. Maybe there's something that I don't know I want because I haven't seen it yet. I have to maybe get a little taste of something before I even know I want it. That ever happened to you? You ever go on vacation and you say, oh my gosh, I had no idea I like conch chowder or something like that.
And now you have a taste for something. I'm sorry, all you conks out there. I don't want you to die for somebody's appetite for your flesh. I could have used something else. Because you've never had a banana. And you go, my gosh, I had one of these things on vacation. What's it called? It's a banana. Oh, yeah, I had them on my cereal when I was 3. All right, well, it's new to me. And it's opened up an entire world. My gosh. I didn't even know that it was my favorite fruit. I hadn't met my favorite fruit. Maybe I haven't met your favorite person. Maybe I haven't met your best friend. Maybe you meet them on your deathbed. Is that too late? Are you greedy? How long do you need with your fantasy? Has it got to go on for years? That seems boring. An instant? Is that too short? How long? I noticed they go to this island and say, okay, 40 minutes, an hour, you're done. That seems about right. They condense it all, too, because you don't want to see these people just going, where's the ass machine? Which I'm sure they do on Fantasy Island. Or they get and they go, is this the trial? I don't even know. I'm not sure exactly where we are. Because here's the thing. Our host is clearly Hispanic. Yet I feel like we're in Polynesia. And people get confused. And go, well, an islands are a mishmash. You know, there's lots of diaspora. There are people from other places that come there. And they mingle in mixed cultures. In the Caribbean, for instance, you got people of African ancestry. You have people of South Asian ancestry. And so you have foods like chutney or music like chutney. That's funny. It's how it's a food and it's a genre. Is there anything else like that? Salsa. Salsa is just like that. Salsa is just like that. Is there anything else? Peanut butter, gravy. Gravy, is there gravy music? There is not. Oh, the world is large. You can just name something I might not have heard. Maybe it's your favorite music. You didn't even know it existed. That's when we learn and we expand our brain, shove more things in that brain. You are a travel agency, and if you don't have the brochures, how are you going to tell people where to go? You need to go out and you need to do a little research yourself. Say, where are good places for people to take their vacation? How many days is enough to fulfill a fantasy? They just want to go, I keep coming back. When people tell me about it, you go to a place, an island resort or something, have you been here before? I say, no. And I ask them, they go, have you been here before? They go, yes, this is my 5th time. I keep coming back. And I always want to ask, are you not getting what you need? Is that it? Is it that? Or is it just like, I love the pizza here. I just keep coming back, get the pizza. Is it you can't get enough of the thing? Or it's just still not fulfilling that hole? It's not filling up that hole? Maybe that's not a hole. Maybe it's something you don't, I mean, don't go in there, but maybe that hole is going somewhere else. I don't know. It might not be able to be filled. It might just feel empty. It might just be a place where there's space. Not every space has to be filled. I tell this to children who shove raisins up their nose or in their ear. I go, yes, there's something there. You don't have to jam dried fruit into it. You know? It's like, but with people interior, also often in that instance, I will be in the home of that person and notice that they've jammed like a chair into an alcove. And I say, not every alcove needs a little tiny chair in it, especially the type that are so delicate and frail that you cannot sit upon them. They are decorative chairs. Sometimes they are woven, they have cane seats, and they are so small, impossibly small, smaller than the smallest derriere of the smallest person. They are simply a chair that's there to indicate that a chair would be a nice thing to have here, but most are too large, so a tiny chair would be the perfect thing. I also have a fake child, because a real child would be too much, and so I have a statue of a child sitting there, because that's just enough child for me. And sometimes the state government services will come and say, is this statue of a child getting any education? And I'll say, man, there's a lot of stuff goes on here that he sees. He's getting a good education. And they'll say, not like that, not a worldly one, an academic one. Does this child know histories of experiences of human beings written by those that he does not know that may or may not be true? I said, sir, good sir, I do not know this unto this day. None of that. I feel bad because that didn't super happen. I don't have a statue of a child. I don't mind things disappearing. I don't latch on to experiences. I don't have to go someplace twice. Although, Jersey City keeps calling me back. I think for obligations, though. I mean, I like it. But I think mainly it's just like,
Could you come to Jersey City? All right. I guess I could. I always have a good time. So I don't really joke about any places. There's no place on earth that I've ever gone where I haven't gotten some kind of good out of it, even if it's not the greatest place. And by not the greatest place, I mean maybe you feel scared because it's, I don't know, it's you're in danger of not getting something you need, like water or food. That's everywhere for me. I worry, what happens if I lose all my resources? That's what scares me about traveling. It's because I've read about travelers in the past. I don't want to have to go to work for some like somebody selling camels. I know that's in the very far past, but you don't know what's going to happen. I think if I was traveling the U.S. and maybe I lost my wallet or something, suddenly I'd be working on some farm or something somewhere, and my name, everybody would call me Doug. I say, I'm not really Doug. And it'd be like I was covering up for being Wolverine, but I'm not even Wolverine. I'm just some poor goofy guy. And I don't know how I got here. I drifted here. I was looking for something. I don't even know what I was looking for. Friend, are you looking for something? Do you feel empty? I'll tell you what, we all feel a little bit empty. Because we're empty. We're vessels, you know, and you're going to feel empty. But that's okay. Most of the time, you're going to be empty. If you're a hotel, most of the time, some of your rooms are going to be empty. They can't be filled all the time. That's crazy. What kind of hotel are you? What are you, the airport? Hilton? Is there such a place? I don't think it'd be a Hilton. I don't know, though. What if the airport hotel was like a 5-star hotel? And you say, oh, man, I missed my flight. Is there an airport hotel? Yes, sir. We'll take you. The shuttle takes you over there, and you go, great. I just need the one room. How much would that be? And they go, well, we have our traveler's suite. That's $900. What? No, I just need a... I'm sorry, sir. That's our smallest room, meaning the only one you can afford. I can't afford that. May I stay in the lobby? No, sir. No, sir, you may not. But we have a lounge called the Kafka Lounge, and if you can talk your way in past the doorman, you can stay in the Kafka Lounge. So I walk up to the Kafka Lounge, and the Kafka, I say, is there room in the lounge today, bouncer? And he says, yes. And I say, may I enter? And he says, no. And I say, I know, this is from the trial, so don't even try to pull this garbage with me. Because I've read the trial, I've read the castle, and I all know all your Kafka-esque tricks. I'm going to walk in here. You try to stop me. I'm going to walk in here. It's an empty bar. I'm staying at the hotel. No, you're not. All right, maybe I'm not. But I don't think you have to stay at the hotel to use the hotel bar. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I've met people at them. They'll say, do you want to meet my band is playing at the hotel bar? I'll say, okay. Sometimes I have an entrance that you don't even have to go through the lobby. So don't tell me that this is some type of novel by Kafka and some type of modern parable about not being able to access things like your desires, not being able to access your deepest thoughts because society is controlling what your desires should be and you don't even know yourself enough to have fantasies. The doorman looked at me. He said, well, you're a clever one. I said, I don't know whether you're being sarcastic or not. He said, yes, I am. I said, all right. And then I told him what he could, suggested some course of action for him in the grossest terms. And he said, you know what? I'm going to let you in this one time. And I said, thank you. Can I ask you why? He goes, all right, forget it. Now I'm not. Because either take it. This constant questioning. Why do you have to know my motives? Right? Sometimes you don't want to know motives. When you find a $100 bill on the ground and you know you're not going to find the person who owns it, do you want to know the backstory? Or would you rather not know it? Because what if it's heartbreaking and you can't do anything about it? I'm going to not tell you exactly who dropped that $100 bill, but I will tell you it was their last $100 bill. And they were going to use it for something super important. I don't know what exactly. Something they bid on eBay, maybe. They don't want to look like a fool. Or I could say a really bad millionaire was just throwing them out. He's not even going to miss it. Now, one might make you feel guilty. And even though that your desire was to find a $100 bill, you may now reject that very desire and find no pleasure in it. Because you didn't really think through the consequences of what you wanted. Sometimes I'm like that. I think, you know, I see these celebrities and all on TV. Maybe I'd like people to mess around, you know, fawn over me like that, make a big deal, give me good tables at restaurants, offer me lots of money, treat me like I'm special. Is that what I want? Would I feel better about myself? Is there a place that I could go to test that lifestyle out so I don't accidentally live it and then mess up?
Well, I don't think that you have any danger of becoming famous or rich, Hardy.
I think everybody has, there's that danger for everybody. I know you don't have to be particularly talented or anything. So that the danger of being rich and famous, I think, lurks around the corner for everybody. And most people are really actively thwarting it. A lot of people are. Because maybe they have other fantasies. And maybe those are equally as ridiculous, or maybe they already have. Like sometimes my fantasy, I say, I wish I had some coffee. And I do. That's beautiful. But then it just becomes another desire that's fulfilled. I guess it's the ones that I can't fulfill that are the most alluring. But then you all talk to somebody who's ever gotten close to really doing what they want, and there's always some sort of bit of a downside to it. I've noticed that a lot of millionaires die, too. So I noticed that it's a Croesus thing. You know, you can be rich as Croesus, and you can still die like Croesus. So it doesn't make you immune. But nobody wants pain and everything. How do we avoid that, Hardy? I don't know. Oh, my gosh. If your fantasy is just to be without pain, I'd love to help you fulfill that. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I guess it's just knowing what's pain, and that takes a lifetime, doesn't it? I guess some things are obvious. Some physical pain is obvious. Some other things are subtle. I don't know how we do it. I don't know how we go through, but I know that when I have help doing it, when I have someone by my side or friends and other people that admit that they don't know or they're confused or they have desires that aren't afraid to be that B actor, B-list, C-list actor, getting off that seaplane onto that island saying, my life hasn't been going so good lately. And I want to come here and I want to put all of my hopes, I want to pin them all on Khan Noonien Singh, the Mexican magician. And he will look at me and he will say, Marla MacGyvers, like that. And I will say, no, sir, but I do have a reservation. And I would like to be, what's my fantasy? Can I give it to, I was supposed to write it down on that card you handed out on the planes. First of all, I thought they were for immigration and customs. But then I realized that I was supposed to put my fantasy down. Y'all need to know ahead of time or something, I guess, to hire actors to play roles in my fantasy. So I'm probably going to come up with one off the top of my head. Rock star. Oh, I know that's a terrible one. Oh, I know that's a terrible one because I've seen plays and movies and everything. Can I take that back? I don't want to be that. Oh, man, I think that's even been dealt with on, like, you know, Wonder Woman or Gilligan's Island. Oh, that one's... No, I need some other choice where the downside isn't obvious, maybe. Something like that. Friend to all, or something that sounds noble, but that would be horrible. If you're everyone's friend, then you're no one's friend. That's not true. Can you just flip anything like that? If you burn your toast, you don't burn your toast. In a way, that's true. No, it's not. I guess agreeing is a social thing, isn't it? It doesn't always have anything to do with the truth. Sometimes we agree because we want to be allies with somebody, and the truth becomes unimportant. And can you imagine, as two people on a desert island, and I've seen this happen. This has happened. And they are helping one another out, getting each other. One of them can get coconuts. The other knows how to get protein bars or, I don't know, out of the ground. I don't know. But they're cooperating and they're both surviving because they're both using each other's skills to help one another. Then they start having a discussion about how a particular star in the sky was named. And one of them actually has some astronomy experience, and they're pretty sure they know. And the other one had heard from a friend. But they got into a heated debate. Now, there was an objective truth there, but they couldn't agree on it. And so they decided to be enemies. And then they both died. One of them died being correct, and the other one died being wrong. So, I mean, that's a good thing, because the truth endured, and it didn't go anywhere. And these two arguing fools. Well, one of them wasn't a fool. I don't know. I guess I don't know what to do with the person who wasn't correct. I don't know what to do with them. I guess you could, I don't know whether murder them is not probably not right. They may seem to think the same way about the person who's right. So I don't know. It's very confusing. Is survival more important than the truth? Well, not in fiction. In a movie, you'd go, I'd rather be right and perish. Yeah, because at the end of the movie, see, you're the spectator. Here's the thing. You're going to walk out of the movie. So you're like, I'm the hero. The hero died at the end, but I identify with the hero, and he did the right thing, dying and giving up his life for what was true. Good movie. You get up, you walk out, and you live on. Now, what if it was a theater in which you identify with a character like the hero, and the hero decides to sacrifice his life for truth, but then you have to die too because you've identified with the hero. You go, wait. Is there another way or a compromise? Yeah, when it's not you, it's a little harder. So, oh, I know. What am I willing to give up for time that I won't be here? That's an interesting question. So I would like some money from you. All right, what's the money for? Can't tell you. Well, what do you need it for? I can't tell you. It's for somebody else. All right, do they need it? I can't tell you. Oh, I don't know, man. What do I do? I have no proof. You could lie to yourself. Tell yourself who that's for. Make up a world. Maybe you already live in that world. Maybe we've already created this fantasy island. Maybe the whole place is a fantasy island. Maybe you think you're Mr. Rourke, but you're not. You're John Saxon, walking onto Fantasy Island. You think you run it, but maybe you're just here visiting. Or maybe you're the assistant. Or maybe you have the job there, just changing sheets, and you have to sign some bizarre non-disclosure contract. You can go, non-disclosure? I don't even know what's going on here. Sometimes I see weird things, but I used to live in California. Not me. I never did. But I'm talking the person who's changing the sheets did. She's a lovely person. First of all, she is amazing in her own community. You see her, she shows up to work, changes the sheets. But when she goes home, she is in charge of a school for girls. And she's done it by herself in her small village. So you don't know people's lives. That's a person you want to get to know. And here you are, not even tipping them at the end of the trip. You think you know what you want? How do you know what you want? You haven't gotten the menu yet. How can you know what you want? You haven't been to the buffet yet. How do you know what you want when you haven't seen the catalog? I'm going to pick up this catalog and look at the things inside. They always look better than they are. The people modeling the clothes are, it's interesting to see that the more expensive the clothes, the more exotic and rare the looks of the model. People modeling ordinary clothes are also beautiful, but in an ordinary sort of way. They'd like to, because they don't want to like completely scare you out of it. You got to identify with the person in the catalog. They don't look quite, none of them look like me exactly. They used to in like when they'd have real low, like, I don't know, one of the discount stores or something. Would have a proper, wide around the middle dad or something. These are shorts for people who should never wear them. That's what I want to see. Let me see a guy in those. Ah, it looks okay. He doesn't care anymore. God bless you, your body. Nothing wrong with your body. I mean, there could be something wrong, but I mean, appearance-wise, just from looking, I don't feel anything, so just looking, you look great. It's all, we have all different kind of containers that we're in. All different shapes. Who cares? Who cares? It's somebody else's idea that the appearance of it matters or will contribute to you being able to meet your desires. Oh, my goodness. You were staying there. It's your island. It's your island. Don't let a man tell you what your fantasy is. Tell him what your desires are. You know. You know. And you can live them out on your own little island. You can live them out like that. You don't have to be forced into doing something so that you meet the consequences of something that wasn't your idea to begin with. Oh, my goodness. I think about that all the time. You know? I really did at some point in my life want to have like a job that would impress people. So I want to impress somebody. I want to be able to go to a cocktail party, which I hate. This is a funny thing. My whole desire was based upon doing something I don't even enjoy. So in my fantasy, I'd be like, I go to a cocktail party. I don't know why I'm there. And then I'm probably working there. And then someone says, what do you do? And I say, I am with the catering service. No, let's see. No, I'm a guest. That doesn't work. I'm a guest. They say, what do you do? And I say, well, I am in the entertainment business or something like that. I don't know. But, you know, the opportunities I've gotten to be like a professional entertainment, some of them, and especially the ones that I've not gotten that I thought I wanted, would have destroyed my life. And it's not sour grapes. It's poison grapes. Right? Those grapes straight up turned out to be poison. And I can't imagine working at a place like that. And I, oh, my goodness. How did I dodge that bullet? I must have realized something in my heart. I must have been having some kind of dialogue with my own heart, my real true desires. I must have found a way of shutting out those voices that told me, go to a cocktail party. Those are the people, strangers, that don't care for you and never will. Those are the people you have to impress. That was in my head. And once that was gone, I realized, hey, what, whoa. This is a cocktail party of one. There's only one person I have to impress. There's only one person that judges me at the end of the day. And I bless you. I love you so much. It isn't you. You can do it. But I live here. You can visit this island. But I live on this island. And for me, it's all there is. I have to import everything. So you can come here and say, this place is this, that, or the other thing. But until you live here, you can't really know. And so let me decide what I do with it. Let me decide what birds to preserve. Let me decide what trees to cut down or not cut down. It's my island. It's my island. And I would feel bad about that, except that I know that you have one too. So go to yours and build something marvelous there. Something wonderful. Something great. You don't have to, I can give you suggestions. But ultimately, you make the call. So I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you how to tell yourself what to do. Isn't that good? Like, did you ever see you're on a comment on social media or something or a news article, and there's always somebody helpful person who comments about how you can work at home and make a lot of money. They're just trying to help you out. They have no opinion. They're not saying, say, hey, you know, that you're right about that politician. What a loser. But it's always someone says, hey, now, I didn't think that I could work at home, but now I'm making a lot of money working at home on the telephone or telephone equivalent. And a lot of times people get mad at that person and say, hey, that's spam. But spam for Polynesians, somebody living in Hawaii, might be a delicacy. So yeah, so there's a Hawaiian style restaurant. And the first thing you think of is, do they have spam? So it's the way you make it. It's what you do with it. It's how you present the offer, really, that matters. It's context. And you are the ultimate context. Your beautiful head, your beautiful island. Desire Key, Desire K, Desire Island, Fantasy Island. They're all names for your creativity, your imagination, your ability to build worlds which are bigger and even more important than the so-called real world, in which things once manifest begin to rot and die and perish. And yet there is, even if it's an illusion, a sort of eternity within your mind.
Spooky music down. It is, though. I mean, from your perspective, time is a lot weirder, you know. For instance, if your mind really does operate up to the moment of your death, and let's say there is nothing on the other side, you won't ever get to that moment. You'll approach it, but there's no way you'll ever be on the other side of it to say, oh, and I died. You'll never really know. And if you never really know something, did it really happen? So if you never are really capable, just by definition of knowing that you died, knowing you're about to doesn't count, then do you? That's what I asked. I asked a friend who's a ghost, and he went, I don't know, man. I'm just floating here in the chair that I peed in. Oh, I remember that. It was scary finding you. Yes, but now I have all eternity to watch old fun 70s TV. Does it hold up? What do you mean by hold up? Is it still good? Still? What are you asking? What are those old TV shows that you're nostalgic about? I believe that they are jobs programs for working actors and other people, cameramen and things like that. It can't be for anything else. It has to be a sort of jobs program. That's all that I can imagine, that it was a sort of like New Deal for actors. So we're going to have all these great TV shows. Fantastic. And they'll just be like, people will just go to work and make them, and there'll be no great effort put into them. I mean, there'll be effort, right? But I mean, they're not, they're just a thing. All right, great. Yeah, don't expect much. All right, fantastic. It's a great way, like if you're in the hospital, it's a good thing to watch. Okay, great. Light. It's light, even if it's at like action-packed, it's light. All right, that's good. That's good. That's good to know. Thank you. I enjoy that. I wish I could participate in such an endeavor. Can I? Can I have my own fantasy island? Is this show a fantasy island? Am I saying, welcome, friends, walk into this space where you're allowed to think other things and different things? I'm not talking to a group of people. I'm only talking to individuals. And the advice that you would give to a person alone, by themselves, away from the pack, is different than you would give to people in front of everyone. If I was talking to the group of people or people as a whole, I would say one thing. But if I'm just talking to you and it literally is you and me and nobody else can hear us, I can say all sorts of wonderful things that are in fact true. But you can't say them to others because they don't know you. And so the idea that you might feel good inside or you might have some sort of fulfillment they don't have can be troubling for them because they think, well, you know, that person got some gum. Why don't I have any gum? So a lot of times you have to keep it to yourself because other people are going to be hurt. It's not, jealousy isn't a bad thing. Sometimes it's them standing up for themselves and feeling injustice. So I don't feel right. I don't feel happy. Why is that other person happy? So you got to hide your happiness a little bit from people. But you can help them find it too somehow if it's findable. That's the thing. Who knows? I don't know. How am I going to help you find something and you don't know what it is and you don't know if you even lost it? And then I got to help you find it. So I think maybe just companionship is enough. I think maybe just having the resort is enough. I think just being here, being able to be calm together, have our hearts light and full of love and imagination, maybe that's enough. Maybe that's enough. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in New York City, New York, and Rockland County, New York, and online worldwide at WFMU.org. Oh my gosh, I'm so thankful to be with you for another day. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you again next week.